Open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 24. We just spent a few weeks. We kind of started a couple weeks ago, and Justin last week kind of continued this theme. We're going to camp out here for a little while. Why relationship matters. Want us to consider this passage in Exodus chapter 24. Fascinating passage, I might say. Exodus chapter 24. If you had it, have it, you want to read along with me, it's certainly up here on the screen as well. Then he said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. You are to worship at a distance, but Moses alone is to approach the Lord. The others must not come near, and the people may not come up with him." When Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice, "Everything the Lord has said, we will do." Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. He got up early the next morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings. Moses took half of the blood and put it in bowls, and the other half he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of covenant and read it to the people. They responded, "We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey." Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like a pavement made of sapphire, clear as the sky itself. But God did not raise his hand against these leaders of Israelites. They saw God, and they ate and drank. As long as I've known or able to remember, I have gone to church. I can remember as a 3 or 4 year old going to church as a family. We had a white Buick LeSabre with burgundy interior. Y'all remember those cars? Remember you could fit like 35 people in a Buick LeSabre? And so we all got in a Buick LeSabre and we all dressed up and we went to church. We drove about 5 or 6 blocks to the church on Fillmore Avenue. And I remember wearing my trench coat, and I remember wearing my slacks and my shirt with my clip-on tie, you know, 3 years, 4 years old. As long as I can remember, I remember that when we got to church, there were other people there. I remember the Newberg family. The Newberg family, the mother, I don't remember there being a father, but I do remember the mother, and I remember we called her Buddha. To this day, I do not know her real name. I don't know if we called her Buddha because she looked kind of Buddha-ish. You know, I don't know. You know, you have to let her tell you that. I remember her daughters, Pam. I had a big crush on Pam. She was cute. And I remember the twin girls, Karen and Sharon. And I remember their other daughter, Eddie. I remember the preacher's family, Carl Jones and his wife, Eunice, and their daughters, Tanya and Tiffany. And we were pretty close with them. I remember Myron. Myron, he lived on the street right behind us, and he was good friends with my sister. They went to high school together. I remember going to church, and I remember that it was an experience that we did as family. And our family went to church with other families. Church was always something that we did together. As long as I can remember, I didn't go to church. We went to church. As long as I can remember, I didn't go to a church building to sit in a church all by myself. No, we went to church with others, and the more the merrier. As long as I can remember, a church has not been about just one person. It's been about people. As long as I can remember, it was natural for church to be done in the context of community and relationship. As long as I can remember, church was about we and not just me. Once again, this should come as no surprise for us. A couple of weeks ago, I shared from Genesis and asserted that God, Elohim, our creator, created us out of a context of relationship. Remember, he said, let us create man in our image. And he created us into a context of relationship. Remember, God says, it is not good for man to be alone. And thus, the majority of the biblical record is in narrative form. That is, it tells a story. And the major theme of these stories in the Bible is relationship. God and man, Adam and Eve, Abraham and Lot, David and Bathsheba, Joseph and his brothers, Jacob and Esau, Ruth and Naomi, Samson and Delilah, David and Bathsheba, Hosea and Gomer, Jesus and his disciples, Paul and Barnabas, Philemon and Onesimus, Judea and Syntyche, Peter and Paul. From Genesis to Revelation, I see relationship. This is why when it comes to the people of God, relationship matters. This is why we need to be reminded about relationship. This is why when it comes to relationship, it needs to be highlighted. We need to be reminded. It needs to be overstated. It can't be understated. We need to fight for relationship because it matters. We are a covenant people. It has been the way of Jehovah to establish covenants with his people. Thus, with Noah, God said, I am going to bring flood waters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, Noah, and you will enter the ark, and you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Thus, with Abraham, God made a covenant. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, to your descendants, I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites and Hittites, Perizzites, Raphaites and Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites and Jebusites. And thus to the people who were freed from bondage in Egypt, God made a covenant. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the house of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. There is covenant when it comes to Jehovah and his people. Now, the signs of the covenants were different, but the mark of all three of the covenants we just read about was relationship. Covenant was a way of saying and sealing relationship. It's like the covenant you enter into when you marry. Now, I'm not saying that the particulars of the covenant are the same, but the meaning of the covenant is the same. When you enter into covenant, it denotes relationship. The text we read in Exodus is one of, if not the most intriguing passages in all of Scripture. Here, the leaders of this new nation of Israel are receiving the covenant code from Moses as he ascends and descends the mountain. Now, only Moses could come in close proximity with God. The others were forbidden, and if they disobeyed, they would be killed by God. The leaders of Israel, the elders, as well as the high priests, Aaron and his sons, Nadab and Abihu, approach this mountain, and at a distance they worship. I'm glad to know that being a people who worship is not something that's new. I'm glad to see that the response to the power of God is worship. When God moves, we worship. When God acts, we worship. When God speaks, we worship. Don't worship because I say so or the worship leader says so. Worship because God's movement says so. Worship because God's love says so. Worship because God's presence says so. When we come into an encounter, when we enter an encounter with the mighty God, with the holy God, church, we worship. As Moses descends with the words and laws of God, the leaders on behalf of the entire nation respond in agreement. I love this. They says, everything the Lord says, we will do. Moses would read the book of the covenant, and after listening to it, the people will respond with, we will do everything the Lord has says, we will obey. I'm glad that worship wasn't about one person, but it was about people. I'm glad that the people of God responded with we. I'm glad that the people of God worship in the context of relationship. I'm glad that the people of God understood that a communal acceptance of God's covenant would be the pattern of the spiritual life going forward. So while there are times I need to cry out, I know my Redeemer lives, I must not forget the communal cry of our God, He is alive. And there are times I need to sing, Lord, I give you my heart, but I must also understand that we also sing, we are an offering. And then there are days that I love to tell the story, yet I can't neglect the communal declaration of we declare that the kingdom of God is here. Our faith and our practice, the things that we do, is not about me, it's about we. It's not mine, it's ours. Yes, I have ownership, but this is a we thing, not a me thing, because relationships matter. Something strange happens in this text. It's one of those instances in the text where, you know, you have to do a double take. You know, you ever do one of these, like, huh, what? The text says, verse number 9, chapter 24, it says, Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up. Didn't we just read that the elder says, Lord, whatever you tell us to do, we're going to do it. We're going to obey. Yeah, whatever you say. Didn't he just say, God, to these people that only Moses could go up? But they all, the text says, go up. It says, Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like a pavement made of sapphire, clear as the sky itself. But God did not raise his hand against these leaders of Israel. Hear this, church. They saw God and they ate and drank. They saw the God of Israel. Is that what y'all Bible said? They saw the God of Israel. Am I the only one that's blown away by that text? They saw the God of Israel, and in the presence of God, they ate and they drank and they had a good old time. I guess they just had themselves a good old time, just eating some ribs. Well, they couldn't eat pork, so they ate some beef ribs. They saw the God of Israel. Church, I want you to be blown away by this truth. Why does relationship matter? Well, it seems that when we do relationship in the right way, God shows up. You want to see God? Then do relationship. You want to see God? Then reconcile with your brother or your sister. You want to see God? Stop making it about me and make it about we. You want to see God? Then rise up in agreement with the people of God and say, we will do everything you tell us, God. You want to see God? Well, then there is a call for community repentance. And when there's a call for community repentance, participate. Don't say, hey, I ain't got no part in that. I didn't do anything wrong. Community repentance means community repentance. That means we, not just some. You want to see God? You want to see God? Then make worship a spiritual staple of your desire to fellowship with others. You want to see God? I'm not discounting the experiences you had when you're alone with God, when you're having your individual moment with God. But I believe that those moments mean nothing if you can't experience that with other people in the context of relationship. Fast forward about 1,500 years from the days of Moses. We're no longer at a mountain. We're in an upper room. In this upper room, it's this guy named Jesus. And in this upper room with this guy named Jesus are his close disciples. Jesus is the host. In a few hours, Jesus would be escorted to be tried and condemned to die. But before he meets that fate, he shares a final meal with his close companions. And in this room, while observing his final Passover, Jesus says these words taken from Luke. Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the wine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Do you remember what Moses said before as he was sealing this covenant with blood? Remember, he said, this is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. Do you see what Jesus says in Luke 22:21 when he says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you? Is it a coincidence? Or is there something powerful going on? Could it be that communion is not just a command to complete, to mark it off as done? I'm going to go to church early, get my communion in, then I got to go. Could it be that communion is not just a mark of what we need to do to make sure our worship is correct and acceptable? Could it be that communion is the very activity that reinforces relationship? And by our participating in communion in the context of relationship, it invokes in a powerful way the very presence of God. Next time you eat the bread or drink the juice, fruit of the vine or wine or whatever you call it, next time you participate in what we call the Lord's Supper or the communion, I want you to look for God. The next time you eat the bread and drink the juice, I want you to look for one another. Next time you eat the bread and drink the juice, remember that relationship matters because we are a covenant people. And see, now it comes to no surprise to me that it was at that final setting that Jesus had with his disciples, that as they were eating and he was talking and he was giving some final instructions, it was at that table, church, where he says, I want to give you a new command, that you love one another in the same way that I love you. And so if we're going back 1500 years or so to that mountain, when Moses came down with the decrees and laws of God, how did the people respond? We will do everything you tell us to do. So as Jesus is our host at the table, and he says, I want to give you a new command, that you love one another as I have loved you. Hey, check this out, folks. They will know you are my followers by your love for one another. Will we, like Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and the 70 elders of Israel, and you read the text there, Joshua's there. Will we, like they did, respond together? Will we say, Jesus, we will do everything you command us to do? We are a covenant people, church. And because we are a covenant people, relationship matters. I don't come to church to commune by myself. I come to church to commune with Justin and Bill and Khaki and Joel and Gene. You know, even though he went to Florida and came back to us, you know, overnight, I'm going to commune with him. That's why I came back, so we can commune with each other, church. We are a covenant people. I don't want you to miss the powerful presence of God being invoked in the context of relationship. So I'll continue to invite you to be a part of our church's story as we enter into dramatic instances. I believe they're going to be dramatic. I believe they're going to be spiritual. I think they're going to be life-changing, dramatic instances of reconciliation and healing. You need to clear off your calendar for the first weekend in February. You need to be here. You need to come here and hear what it means to enter into reconciliation. You need to hear the dangers of triangulation. You need to hear the healthy ways to deal with conflict. I'll be the first to admit to you that I used to hate conflict. Now, I'm not telling you that I fully embrace conflict. But I have to tell you that now I understand that sometimes conflict is necessary. And you know what? Sometimes it's necessary to fight. But we got to fight fair. We got to fight in the confines of God's holy relationship. Amen, church? And we can get there together. It's not just about me learning how to do that. It's about us all together learning what that means. Relationship matters because we are covenant people. I want to encourage you to participate in the body, participate in relationship. We understand this, that while there are communal instances of assenting to what God has called us to do, that there has to start with a personal adjustment, a personal assenting to what God wants. As we sing this song that Jess is going to lead us in, we're singing a song, a prayer to God for him to take control. We're singing a song that says, God, I no longer want to be leader of my life. I want you to be leader of my life. We're singing a song that says, my mind, my heart, my body, my soul, God, I want you to take complete control of it. And as he takes control of our lives, takes control of our hearts, as he becomes king, as he becomes the decision maker, as he becomes the standard, we then allow him to draw us together in the context of relationship. So I want to invite you to do that this morning. Sing to God, Lord, take control. And to follow that natural taking away by God into the context of relationship. If it's necessary for you, maybe this is the time that you stand up like the people of old, the covenant people of old, who said, this is what you want, God. We will do everything that you have told us to do. So hear Jesus again say, I give you a new command. Love one another as I have loved you, because they will know you are my followers, my disciples, by your love for one another. Stand up in agreement. He says, we will do everything that you tell us to do. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ this morning, you want to profess your faith in him, you want to be buried with him in baptism, we can do that too. If you're hurting, you need the touch of Jesus and you need the touch of your brothers and sisters this morning, we want to give you this opportunity as well to respond. So let's stand up. Let's sing this song.